So having the story on Sunday morning doesn't leave a lot of time for our message. And so we've been going through Proverbs through the summer. And today I want to jump right in and read Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it says this, "Direct your children onto the right path. When they are older, they will not leave it." I learned sort of a more traditional version of that. It said, direct your kids, lead your children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Same kind of thing. And this is one of those things that parents love because you struggle as a parent. I mean, you struggle as somebody with a parent too. But the idea that if you just do it right and you try your best and you direct your kids the right way, then in the long run, they won't. It'll all turn out good. And we see kids go through the rebellious phase, and then you hope that by the time they're 25, 30, they kind of come back around. And I remember when I was doing youth ministry out west, I had a kid in my youth group who was the son of the local Baptist pastor, and he was a really good guy, the dad, and he was one of those really really intent on following Scripture to a T, kind of translating it directly into the 21st century, and we follow it all as carefully as we can. And one of the issues with that, his son went through that rebellious phase, and it wasn't a good one, it was a really bad one. He had left home, he was experimenting with chemicals and things like that. And in the church, there's a passage in the T books, the Timothys and the Titus and so on, that talks about leadership. Leadership is expected to have the family in order. And so because the son kind of went off the deep end, he was asked to step down from the church, and he no longer pastored there. And that his son kind of going off the deep end was one of the reasons given. And so you look at a verse like this, and you think, so this guy who loves Jesus immensely, loves Scripture, is doing his best, is teaching his children all the time, and yet it doesn't seem to have worked. So what do you do with that? Direct your children onto the right path. When they're older, they will not leave it. And so there's a couple of things here. First, we're going to unpack this in a minute, but at first, there's a lot of these proverbs you read, and you go, well, this sounds like it's, I don't know if it's too good to be true. You see examples where maybe it's not true. And Proverbs is written from, it's a whole collection of observations. And in general, it's a very optimistic, this is the way things should be. If the world is as it should be, then all this stuff is true. And it's complemented in the Bible by Ecclesiastes, which is a far more pessimistic look at life, and also the book of Job. All three of those would be characterized as wisdom literature. And so there's different perspectives on this. And so here's an observation that kind of says, if you're doing it the right way, your kids will turn out fine. And at the same time, our kids make their own choices. So it's as much an observation, it's more an observation than it is an absolute promise. But there, we can still unpack that and look at what's really going on. Because sometimes if you just take it at face value, you miss some of the important stuff that it's saying. Okay? So direct your children onto the right path, or in the older translation that I kind of learned growing up, in the way that they should go. I think what we do with that is we say, so what happens when you have kids? Okay, if you don't have kids yet, you'll find that out. If you have kids, you probably already know this. When you have children, you begin to learn a lot about yourself. In fact, I heard somebody once say, you don't really know yourself until you have children, and you see yourself emulated in your kids. And I know this is what happened when we had kids. All of a sudden, this was my opportunity to relive my own life without the mistakes that I made. Okay? I can direct my children to be who I should have been. And what happens when you do that is you turn this to, instead of direct your children in the way in the way they should go, you direct your kids in the way that you would have gone if you had made all the right choices. You're trying to live your life through them. The counter of that is that some people want to direct their kids in the ways that they want to go. No constraints. You know, just let them make their own choices. Just let them find their own path. And both of those ways are a mess. Trying to live your life through your kids and try, just letting them do whatever they want is a mess, because what this passage really means is direct your kids, children, onto the right path. That's God's path for them. What is God's path for them? Not your own life lived vicariously through your kids. Not the life, whatever they might want to choose. What is God's path for them? And here is a clue, if you're a parent. God's path for them is not necessarily the same path for you. Because God has a specific purpose for every individual. And the job as parents is to find out what that is. And you start finding out by what that is by finding out what God has planted in their hearts. Rather than them try living my life over again without the mistakes, what is God planting in their hearts that's very specific? How do you find that? Well, I want to address three issues today, or three types of people. Two of them are actually the same, and one is different. You may have a parent, or two, right? If you're 6 or you're 16 or 26, you probably have had or have a parent, and there are many people whose hearts have not been heard by your parent. So you have your parents telling you what to do and how to do it and all of that, and it feels like they're not even listening to your heart, and a great many people go through this, and I'll give you one reason why. One reason why is because parents are imperfect. Guess what? Parents are imperfect, and if you have a really, really good parent, they will strive to listen to your heart, and they'll do it imperfectly. And if you have a parent that is doing other things, they may not hear your heart at all, and what do you do with that? The first thing you do with that is you go to your perfect parent, God the Father, and ask him to hear your heart and to speak into your life. And the other thing you do is you ask him to heal that hurt of not having your heart hurt. You can also ask God to provide for you people that will hear your heart. That's why we have people like Martina as youth leaders, to be mentors, to be people that will listen to the hearts of kids whose hearts have not been listened to. Again, if you're 6, 16, or 26, I'm sure we've all been there at some point. Now, if you're a parent, there's two things, okay? The first thing is listen to your children's hearts. Listen to their hearts. Sometimes we spend so much time telling them what to do, we're not listening to what God has planted in their hearts. I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes that's difficult because sometimes we have to stop talking and listen, and there are sometimes when our kids don't want to talk. We have two boys, Judah and Graydon. I have no problem hearing what Judah wants to say. He's very eloquent. He lets us know what he wants to say all the time. We hear his heart regularly. Graydon, that's a whole other thing. Graydon did not talk. Graydon, how's your day at school?
Good.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
We couldn't get him to say anything. In fact, we would bring him to youth on Friday nights, and he's a morning person. He's not a night person. We would pick him up. So how was youth tonight?
Good.
What'd you learn? I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired. He would literally say that. And we just couldn't get him to talk, and it was part of a concern. We had some concerns when he was growing up, I want to hear his heart. I want to learn. And so one day, I had this idea. I can't remember if I prayed for God to show me how to get him to share his heart. And we were driving, just the two of us, one time, and I thought, okay, here's my chance. Here's my chance to get him to talk, and he wouldn't talk. So finally, I said, hey, Graydon, what would you rather have for dessert? Ice cream or cake? And he said, whatever it was, ice cream. And I kept on asking this question, where would you rather go on vacation? Would you rather go camping? Or would you rather go south where it's warm, to Florida or something like that? And we kept on going and going and going. And finally I said, who would you rather hang out with? Your church friends or your school friends? Because that's where I was going with it, okay? That's where I was going. I want to know who you're identifying with more because I have my suspicions, and I want to know why. So he gave me an answer. I said, why? It was my school friends. Why? Why do you think? Anyway, so we had a little conversation with that, and then I had gotten as far as I wanted to go. And Graydon said, ask me some more, Dad. I mean, you can steal that trick if you want, but that worked for him. Let me hear your heart. So the first thing for parents is listen to your kid's heart. Find out which way to do it. And the second thing I have to say to parents, doesn't matter if you're a new parent with a newborn or if your kids are grown up and moved out or whatever, the second thing that parents deal with is regret. Because we all do it imperfectly. We all do it imperfectly. And I think the one thing that parents deal with over the years is regret. I wish I had. And you can't do it over. What do you do with regret? Same as children whose hearts have not been heard, give it to your perfect Father, your Father in heaven, who loves you, who hears your heart and wants to bring healing. I forgot to mention all the stuff that I normally mention. You know, you can text me if you have a comment or question relevant to the message. Look at the YouVersion app and all of that other stuff. But we're coming to the end of the service, and I say this every Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. If you are not a follower of Jesus, you want to become a follower of Jesus, it's as simple as ABC. Admit your need for him. Acknowledge your need for the perfect parent to give you the life that Martina talked about. The life where your hand is in his and he directs you and leads you to the best possible life you can have. Believe that that's available to you through Jesus' death and resurrection, where through Jesus' death and resurrection, he makes everything new, and then commit your life to him. And you may be here at Crossland Church week after week after week and say, why do we have to hear this thing every single week? Why do you keep going over this? ABC, I've heard it. I'll tell you, I do it for two reasons. One, for that person that you happen to invite today, or you might invite next week. It's that one time that somebody walks in for the first time, and I don't want them to leave without hearing that opportunity to give their life to Jesus. But the second thing is, this is a little more subtle, a little more devious on my part. I want you to understand how simple it is to share your faith with your friends. Because you don't just have to bring them here. You can, when you're talking to somebody that's in need, you have a relationship with somebody, you say, listen, following Jesus is as simple as ABC. It's as simple as ABC. You've heard it week after week after week. So now you have the ability to communicate to somebody else. Just like Martina, when she was in high school, had these people always talking about Jesus, and it stoked her curiosity. And she became a follower of Jesus in part because of them sharing their faith. That's why I do this every single week. And if you want to respond to that, there's a couple of ways. One is we have our connection cards. They're at the back of Theater One. We have them throughout the foyer. Fill in your contact information, whichever amount you want. You don't have to give us everything. But there's a box under saying, I am deciding to follow Jesus today. Because you have to make a step. You have to make a decision. Another option is, my number's on the screen. You can text me and say, I'm in with your name. And because there's follow-up. How do you go on from your spiritual journey, just like Martina described? You know, getting involved in a small group and starting to read your Bible and so on. So that's why we do it. I'm going to ask you to stand as we close the service. I do have... As we close today, I have one important announcement to make. Before I make that announcement, I want to remind everyone that as soon as the service is done, Theater One becomes a prayer room. And we have a prayer focus today, which is very specifically hearing God's heart for you as your perfect Father. We all need that. We all need our hearts renewed by our perfect Father who hears our hearts, who puts his purposes into our hearts, who brings healing to our hearts. And so I would encourage you to stay for that. We also always encourage people to find one person they've never met before here at Crosslands and have a meaningful conversation with them. We just ask you to do that in the foyer, in the lobby, so that this can continue to be a prayer room. So with that, we're going to close in prayer, but I do have the one announcement. And if you've, most people that are part of our regular family here know that we had our youth pastor, who was also in charge of Connection. He stepped down a couple of months ago now. So we have been in process of finding the perfect person, which is very difficult to do because in some ways our culture here is unique. We want somebody who's capable. We want somebody who loves the youth and is going to really take it a step ahead. And so after a lot of prayer, and not just prayer, but I'm asking God to confirm the decisions, confirm the candidate. And so we have managed to nail our ideal candidate for youth ministry at Crossland Church. And so I'm just going to give you her name. Her name is Mariah Breckenridge. So for the past 2 years, Mariah has been running our kids ministry and small groups. And I don't say this from the front often. I say this behind, you know, in private conversation. I couldn't imagine a better children's pastor. She's grown our kids' program by 50% in 2 years. And she's competent, capable. She's been volunteering in youth ministry for the past year plus. And so she will no longer be doing small groups. So we're going to shuffle that around. But she will be in charge of everyone at Crossland Church from when they pop out of the womb to when they graduate high school. And I have full confidence in her. Really looking forward to what's going to happen. Standing over there, by the way, so after the service, give her a big congratulatory hug or something like that. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that that you look on us as a new father looks with delight at his newborn children. Father, I thank you that where our hearts have been hurt because they have not been heard, you hear us. I thank you that we can come to you for healing, for purpose, for direction, that you are trustworthy, you are faithful. We can put our hand in your hand and you guide us into the best possible life. I thank you that Jesus came to make that possible for us, to make relationship with our loving Father in heaven available to us. And so, Father, for those that have had hearts hurt because they haven't been heard, Father, I ask for your healing. For those who are struggling with the challenges of parenting, whether it's a one-year-old or an 18-year-old, give us the ability to hear the hearts of our children. Give us wisdom, peace, strategies, insight into how to direct the kids on the path that you have for them. And for those that struggle with regret, Father, I pray that you would envelop us with your forgiveness, with your healing. Take care of that we cannot take care of anymore. Thank you for being a loving Father. And I also thank you for, as this community of followers of Jesus, that you have brought Mariah to us to do such a great job with the kids. And I ask for your blessing and direction for her as she expands her ministry to our youth as well. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.